The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
This evening, really, I just have a few reflections. I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, there's some thoughts that are kind of going through that are wanting to be expressed. So we'll see, you know, what comes out. And it's connected to me. It's connected to what's happening in the world right now. This week has felt like a fairly poignant week to me. On Monday, looking at some of the news stories and the pictures, the videos of the vaccine being distributed in our country, and seeing some of the, you know, even seeing like the airplane touching down, like I got teary. You know, it was an interesting experience, something that kind of normal or usual. And then seeing people, you know, people, just the workers at night, you know, they're wheeling these trays of vaccine around. It's just, it was very touching to me. It felt very moving. And I've talked to some others for whom it was also that way. And the other day in a meeting, you know, several people commented how close they are to tears right now, that many, many things can just put you over, and sometimes in a beautiful way, you know, like for me, you know, those tears at seeing this airplane touch down. And you know, it's not the airplane, right? For me, in reflecting on what it was, you know, what was that emotion, and what was the tenderness there? It felt connected to kind of the sense of the interconnectedness of all of us, you know, that this project of the vaccine is a global, worldwide effort of human beings trying to help other human beings. And it's the vastness of that was touching me, and the connectedness of that was touching me, just the kind of the sense of we are all in this together, and that there is this movement to want to help each other and support each other. That was very touching. It was very moving to me. And I've been feeling kind of that feeling during the week, this poignant feeling, because at the same time of feeling that kind of that sweetness and the joy of how we're trying to help each other, there's a recognition and the understanding that thousands more people are going to die before they get their vaccine. And it's heartbreaking. This combination of joy and sorrow together. And this really kind of brought in for me this reflection on the Brahmaviharas, the four qualities of a heart that is not resisting what's here in this moment. That's not resisting the truth of what's here. And the quality of that not resisting the truth of what's here is the quality of equanimity. That balance of mind that is not kind of pulled or pushed around by what's happening. And that balance of mind, that heart that's not reactive, is available to feel. To feel the sorrow and the joy, and not think that they can't coexist simultaneously. That's such a, it's such a poignant thing. You know, it's not a mistake to be so delighted and happy, and yet understanding too that the sorrow of this, that so many people have died, that so many more people will die. Maybe some of us will die. We don't know. And yet holding that, you know, holding that this is the truth. When the heart isn't resisting that truth, it can open to that connectedness, that sense of love. The four Brahmaviharas are really these four of equanimity, is the balancing quality that allows us to hold what is coming, what is here, what is the truth of this moment. Equanimity can allow us to hold it. And then what is here, the heart that's not resistant will kind of have these different flavors depending on what's here. It'll have a flavor of connectedness, of care, of concern. That's kind of the basic quality, the emotional quality of equanimity, is that feeling of connectedness and care. And then that heart open quality of connected care, when there is suffering happening, that heart will be touched with compassion, this quivering and this wish to alleviate that that suffering, that movement of compassion. And when there is, what's happening is something that's delightful or joyful, the heart resonates with that. The heart, you know, I really love this image in the quality of mudita, sympathetic joy or empathetic joy. The word sympathetic there is resonant with the word sympathetic in music, sympathetic vibration in music, where when you pluck a string on a stringed instrument, you get some overtones as that string resonates and gently, subtly vibrates the string next to it. So it's vibrating in sympathy with that. And that's what happens with our heart when it's open. And I feel like that the Brahmaviharas are really an empathetic response to, a resonating response to what's happening. And it's such a beautiful image. And it's so tender, that feeling. And this week, it's really felt to me like it's all happening at once. You know, it doesn't feel like sometimes it's compassion and sometimes it's joy. It's just like it's all in there together. I was sitting before connecting this evening, and it's like, what is that sensation in the heart? You know, it's shattered, it's soft, it's connected. Yeah. And I think, you know, in some ways it's so, this whole year to me, this whole year has been an invitation for us to open to that heart. That when it's so crazy, I mean, it's actually, there's always this invitation to open to this and in our experience, but it's like, it's so over the top right now. It's like, we can't miss it. And so I feel like in the meeting that I had the other day with, you know, it was a group of about 12 of us. Over and over again, people were talking about this kind of this heartbreak. One person said something like, it feels like my heart is just continually shattering, continually breaking. And if we're not resisting it, actually it's beautiful. That heart that is resonating is not resisting what's true in this moment. And the equanimity is what allows us to hold the whole thing. The equanimity keeps us from kind of sinking into collapsing around the suffering, or kind of getting too exuberant about the joy. And there are, it's such a difficult year in so many ways, that there will be times for all of us, anyone who's not fully awakened probably, you know, where we'll slip into that fear, confusion, anxiety, get caught up in reactivity and not have that balance. And then can there be a heart that can hold that too? That image or that kind of suggestion in the guided meditation of allowing what's here. And allowing means allowing the resistance too, allowing the fear, allowing the confusion, allowing the feeling of I can't take another step or do another thing, it's just too hard. Allowing that, and that allowing, you know, when we can open to just a little bit of, well, that's what's here, can the heart hold that? It's like there's just a little bit of space there sometimes that can give us the room to acknowledge, yes, this too is what's happening, this too is okay. And that brings in both of the qualities right there, both the qualities of equanimity and love. Those are some reflections. I'm curious what's up for you this week. How are you? What's going on? Kat, if you're speaking, you're muted.
Oh, no, actually, I was talking to Bliss.
You're talking to, okay, sorry.
I told her that. But that's okay. Yeah, Belinda's here. Anna's here. It's nice to see everyone.
I'll say something.
Okay.
It has to do with, it connects to something that you helped me with almost a year ago now at the last in-person retreat at Cloud Mountain, when I wanted to talk about all the feelings that I was trying to maneuver around the, at that time, 9 months in the future election. And you pointed to me to look at the tangle of them. And as I was describing some of it, to be sure to notice the wishes for people to be safe and for things to be good. And that has been very, very helpful to me. And one of the things I've been noticing lately is I'm holding this idea in my heart mind about not knowing. Not knowing what's going to happen. Like, you know, the election happened and it was like, and then all this weird stuff happened, you know, all these bad things, you know? And so it was like, ooh, not knowing. And then I'll hear something that comes out of nowhere about something that sounds like really good on the political scene. And so I've just been like, okay, I don't know where this is all going. And I mean, this works with the virus too, but I'm more looking at the political scene. I don't know where this is all going. And what feels really good is to notice my wishes for things to go in a way where people are taken care of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's my political perspective that people have enough money and enough food and good jobs and the world is protected and all of this kind of stuff. But to stay with that good feeling and to trust that my action will come out of what happens next, as opposed to, because this was part of what I asked you about too, is that I get into this, I have to figure it all out and do something about it. And so that holding of what, of not knowing, has in it what some of what you were talking about, the fear and the sadness and the anger and the wish for safety and happiness for myself and everyone else.
Yeah. And I think that is so important. There's, I mean, it's like that wish, you know, the, sometimes what happens is that wish kind of, and I may have said this not too long ago. I mean, I say this periodically, so you might have heard me say this recently, but that wish of wishing that people be well, happy, peaceful, you know, it kind of arises in us and it comes into contact with the nature of the world being impermanent, unreliable, uncontrollable. And that, I think, and I sometimes talk about, so the thread of like wishing that things be well, you know, wishing that people have health and safety and happiness kind of bumps up against the impermanent, unreliable nature, uncontrollable nature of the world. And it's like those two kinds of threads, they just get all tangled up because we feel like in some way it's like, and I've seen my mind kind of jump from one side to the other. It's like, well, if things are impermanent, unreliable, then I shouldn't want everybody to be well, happy, and peaceful. You know, that the mind kind of lands on that side and it feels like that these wishes are not valid somehow. But the wishes are completely valid because they are metta. That's that side of the heart that has that openness and that connection. And then there is this truth that impermanent, unreliable, uncontrollable is very much the nature of the world. And, you know, kind of can the heart, the wisdom can help the mind hold that, the nature of the way things are. And wisdom and love can kind of come into a weave instead of a tangle. You know, so it's, we fight. It's like we feel like, well, if it's true that things are impermanent and unreliable, then I shouldn't wish for my own happiness because I know that's delusion. If I'm wishing for my own happiness, you know, I've told myself this at times and it's like, well, that's not really, you know, what the meta is, that wish. And the wisdom understands that the wish is valid even if we don't know that it will manifest. It's like the wish is valid whether or not it manifests. And so that's hard for us to learn. You know, it's like it seems like we only want to have those wishes, like, you know, to say, may you be completely free of your illness. You know, like when people are exploring this wish of metta or compassion for somebody who's ill, dying, you know, I've heard people say, you know, well, I can't wish that they be completely healed because that's not possible. It's like, no, you can wish that. You know, if you, and that's the deeper wish of compassion, actually, is that they be completely healed and freed from that suffering. The fact that it has, like, you know, the smallest percentage of likelihood of being true is kind of, you know, just that little bit of holding on to, well, it's not going to happen, so I shouldn't wish it. You know, that's a mistaken understanding of the movement of the heart that really wants that connection, that freedom from suffering. So it's a challenge for us, though, to hold both. And that's really where the equanimity helps us to hold the truth. And I think the not knowing that you spoke about, Kate, it's kind of like in that field of when we really enter into not knowing of the next moment, you know, like, this is what's here right now, and I don't know what the next moment will be. There's some wisdom there that understands that truth. So that brings in that side, the not knowing. And if you can hold the not knowing and the wish for love together, you know, it can kind of heal the heart in a way. It's an odd feeling sometimes, that sensation in the heart when both are there. But it is clearly wholesome. You know, it's got the quality of not being constricted. You know, so that it feels soft, it feels expansive, it feels connected. And so often the qualities of reactivity have a feeling of hardness, of brittleness, of kind of stepped back, of not connected, of, you know, that the heart feels like it's surrounded by a crust or something. And the heart that's has more of that infusion of equanimity and love has much more, to me, it feels more like a bowl of jello. You know, it's kind of soft and squishy, and it jiggles and it vibrates. Is, you know, if you touch the bowl, it's going to jiggle and vibrate, and like that sympathetic vibration, it's kind of got that quality to it in a way. So
and the thing that you weren't talking about, that but that feels like it comes up so often for me, is that I've got to do something to make this happen.
Yes.
And that also is not helpful. And it's certainly on the, you know, certainly delusional. And it's certainly on the, whichever side it was, that's not the good wishes.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, the I've got to do something is often has some kind of constriction to it. It's got some kind of neediness to it or aversion to it. But the impulse to do can be connected to compassion too. And so again, it's the feeling is, you know, to me, it's an important thing to check in, you know, is it that I've got to do something? Oh, this isn't okay. You know, the kind of the fear, the thrashing, the mind kind of scattered, and, or is it the kind of the movement, the natural movement of the heart to reach out to help someone that doesn't have that feeling and understands that that reaching out to help may or may not be accepted, may or may not have the effect that we hope it to have. So that the movement to do is not inherently unwholesome, but that kind of the neediness, you know, that needy quality. Yeah.
I'll say something.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for sharing the joy that you had seeing the airplane. It was like also surprising for me. I was just sitting down last week with that, I think it was a 9-year-old lady in London got the first vaccine. I started like bawling, and I was just like very surprised myself sitting in the chair, just, you know, getting in touch with that part of myself being so, you know, vulnerable and open to the joy of the humanity and seeing all the nurses.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. So, and then, Well, and also I had felt this this morning or the day before also, I was going to order something, but I didn't want to clog up the trucks and then everything else that's going, serving the East Coast for stuff that I mean, I just like held it back. Just saying that this for me, it's not easy because I am like many of us, I don't know, but I'm in touch with the stuff that is wrong. And I'm going to came to this work to just fix it and get this thing done. But I also, I mean, it's just so tender and then nice to just feel these moments when they come up. So I'm just wishing in this, like, and we are at the cusp of the winter solstice, that we going more towards the light. So hopefully those, the four qualities, I wish it for myself and the people who are like me, more closer to what's wrong than what's right. Go towards the light. So that's it.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that reflection. And I think we can, you know, we can, noticing that we have this tendency to kind of orient towards what's difficult and what's wrong. Sometimes we can remind ourselves. And I really feel like this time is a great time to kind of notice that tender heart, you know, that we can touch into that, that the beauty, you know, and they come together, you know, even orienting towards what's difficult, you know, if you are practicing with that, you know, you are bringing in those qualities, those beautiful qualities. You just may not be quite noticing them.
Hopefully I'm getting tenderized.
Yeah. I mean, remember these feelings, you know, it's really helpful to be aware of them and to kind of take them in and like realize, oh yeah, this is a tenderness, this, and the feeling of that as wholesome, you know, that, so the recognition of it with mindfulness actually supports it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's time to stop now anyway, so we can end the evening.